Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 33 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. My name is VexX, along with your host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's hero. How's everybody doing out there?
Alive and well, Mr. Johnny Zero. A million things transpiring the TV Dads Wrestling Network universe, if you will. What do you got for
all us? All kinds of controversy. I mean, there's a new world's heavyweight champion.
There is. How do you feel about that?
I think that means it's... Man, I think he deserved it, man. I mean, I don't agree with the way he got it, but I do. I am glad he got it. There's not a bigger working man James Evans fan around than me, and the former world heavyweight champion that put us on the map, the frontiersman Charles Ingalls. I think he's the same way. I think a man is not going to be defined on exactly how he wins a title. It's how he defines himself as keeping the title.
Now, that's a good point. How you defend the title, who you face, taking on all challengers. I agree with that sentence.
Absolutely.
But I got to tell you, I'm just glad that Charlotte Ingalls is no longer the world's female heavyweight champion.
Well, I think you're going to miss him.
Him?
I think you're going to miss him.
I miss nothing. It's a glorious time in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. The Supreme Ruler Springer, in his infinite wisdom, has made a lot of changes. A lot of things are going on now. John, I'm not sure if you're aware of this fact.
Yes.
But have you noticed that the middleweight championship for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation
has been vacated
for many months.
Yes.
Now, not reported on television.
Yes.
Not reported on the podcast.
Yes.
There have been several behind-the-scenes matches around the country in the house shows.
Yes.
Leading up to only four competitors being available to compete for an elimination tournament, if you will,
yes,
to secure that championship.
Sure.
How do you feel?
I think it's a great idea. I think that's a world championship that's out there. And then given the international controversy over Springer's decision there for the World Heavyweight Championship of TV Dad Wrestling, it's a lot going on.
So here we are in the face of the modern wrestling arena, 2018, TV Dads Wrestling, Saturday morning broadcast, and we're discussing that there are four competitors still standing who will compete and try to achieve the middleweight championship. Now, you had said something interesting off microphone that I want to bring up.
Yeah.
There's regular heavyweight competitors who are trying to quote-unquote make weight.
Absolutely.
If you will,
yes,
to try and fit into the mold.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, you got guys that can drop, and guys like Beauregard Duke. You got Ricky Ricardo. Ricky Ricardo can go, and Pat Morita both can go between those weight classes.
Well, Ricky Ricardo is one of the last four standing.
He also is an international competitor as well. That would not surprise me at all. The capoeira kick is hard to defend, my friend.
Sure.
There's a lot of guys in there. I mean, I wonder about Michael Knight. Can he make weight?
Well, number one, he could never make the weight. He's gigantic. And number two, he's a heavyweight tag team champion. He's holding a title right now.
That's correct.
So he's not even eligible
correct.
In this
that's
capacity.
Correct. I thought middleweight you could help. Okay, I get that right. Okay. I thought if you were middleweight, you could be tag team champion at the same time. But absolutely, the Velvet one. The Velvet one. I mean, I believe this man can slip and slide in any weight division he chooses. The man's been quite an incredible competitor. I can't remember a competitor ever coming on the scene and making such an uproar.
I'll tell the truth of it. The elimination began initially, and it was too late for the Trailer Park Express to compete, unfortunately. It was beyond this is months and months in the making. So the four competitors remaining as we speak, as I said, is Ricky Ricardo.
Okay.
Beaver Cleaver is still alive and active.
Okay.
Minnie Bundy is still around, and he's competing for the middleweight champion. Well, it's a middleweight championship. He's a little guy.
What about that little bastard? The only one I Tattoo. Is he still around?
He's not technically an active wrestler, unfortunately.
That piece of shit. Yeah, I figures. Who's the fourth guy?
The fourth person still standing is a recent convert, if you will, to the darker side of wrestling, Jason Seaver, formerly The Face, alive and well, distorted, chewed up, if you will, from the fires of aggression.
Yeah.
He is active, though, and is part of the final four, sir.
Yes, absolutely.
Jason Seaver.
I can see that. What is that he's doing? It's like a Fu Manchu, but he's curling it, the bottom of it out like a handlebar.
I don't know. I mean, you had said it yourself previously that he wants to be part of the world famous Bloody Stash crew. They don't really want to have him. It's a nightmare. He got torched a couple of times in the ring. He's had a lot of experiences happen.
Yeah, but if you watch this Caribbean stuff, I'm telling you, he's considered like he is the BSC represented. He's got to have some.
Which is a bastardized version, I might add. He is not remotely affiliated in any capacity.
I've seen him tag at least once with like Jefferson or something like that.
Now, before we start the show and we have our first match of the evening, could you please show the or give the wrestling audience your top 10 in relation to the TV Dads Wrestling Federation?
Absolutely. At number 10, we have Ricky Ricardo. At number 9, we have I'm Dancing on Sunshine, Disco Demand.
Oh, yes, Sanford. A fantastic competitor. Yes. He's becoming a fan favorite, which is shocking.
The new theme song is really catching on. I don't know how it's going to go over on national. People are liking it in the arenas. Of course, The Wild Thing. Slipping a little bit because he's been doing a little bit of tag team matches with the Living Dream, who comes in actually at number 7, Living Dream. Number 6 is your boy Brady.
My boy, the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. He's not even in singles competition anymore. It's fantastic to me that you've included him in singles competition when he is above all of that.
He has a lot of beefy guys do his matches for him.
No, sir, you are incorrect.
At number 5, we have the Velvet one himself. Velvet Elvis Jeff Foxworthy and leader of the Trailer Park Regime. Number 4, Bo Duke. At number 3, we have El Macho Duce, Bonaduce, which is controversial because he is the world
television champion.
I agree, but you're talking at number 2. We still have Charles Ingles, who has been denied his rematch for the World Heavyweight Championship after unifying both the International and the World TV Dad Wrestling Federation Championship. Those were two world championships at one time. And number 1 is, well deservedly, the heavyweight champion of the world, the working man, James Evans.
Interesting. Interesting compilation, if you will. Yeah. I want you to speak on this champion. Here's the thing that's confusing. Yeah. Said world championship isn't recognized by the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. So why on earth would that be taken to composition by your whole Pro Wrestling Illustrated tabloid reporting? Why is that part of it, sir?
Well, this is an international tag team championship. International Wrestling Championship committee and fans voting in, and this is something that's never happened before in wrestling. A guy unified the International and the World TV Dad Wrestling Federation Championships at one time, and was the manner in which Jerry Springer did it. The International group withdrew sponsorship of the title, but still support James as a wrestler. So James will have to defend himself. It's nothing against James, and Ingles, you automatically get every championship we ever had match. Where the world title has always gotten a rematch, be it a house show, be it a pay-per-view, be it whatever. He's been denied that clause.
Well, it's different times, if you will. Like, the Supreme Leader has seen it in his infinite wisdom to overlook it. If you remember correctly, it wasn't James Evans versus Charles Ingles. That wasn't supposed to be the situation at all, sir.
It was 3 matches. Best of 3 matches is what he said. Ingles won the first 2 fair and square.
But when we had started the show, if you remember, it was a different lopsided scenario.
Well,
no, it wasn't supposed to be those two facing off. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you.
I agree.
So, in general, Springer's changing the rules, I guess. So, I'm going to give you the top 5 for TV Dads Wrestling Federation, the official, if you will.
Yes.
In the number 5 position, the Tool Man, Tim Allen, who's actually been doing very well in the single circuit.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that, sir?
I think he's a great worker. He just got edged out. He's been trying to concentrate, get back in that TV title champion. He's
most definitely chasing it, correct?
Chasing it.
In the number 4 position, we have the one and only the immortal Stashburg.
Absolutely.
Who has definitely proven to since his return to be a formidable opponent in and out of the ring.
The man got shot and came back by Frank Reynolds.
This is odd. The number 3 position for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation official top 5 is being held by Mr. Jeff Foxworthy, the Velvet One.
The Velvet One.
I do not condone this, sir.
How can you not? I mean,
well, I'm not a fan of these filthy, disgusting people who call themselves the Trailer Park Express. Right. I don't support them as athletes in the Federation. I don't believe this should be a TV Dad sanctioned area. He should not be in the top 5, in my opinion.
Well, since it's the official thing, and I'm not, you always give a great top 5, and it's not your fault. Do you think ratings could have anything to do with that?
You think he's that popular?
Well,
or is he that disgusting?
When he's got Vern and Gimpasaurus.
Vern.
And Gimpasaurus. What is this Gimpasaurus? Is Vern Gimpasaurus?
All right, I just heard rumblings about the Gimpasaurus. Yeah. I can't speak on
what
it is.
Is that like a real person?
I've been advised that it could be the biggest, most physical, professional wrestler to ever grace athleticism as we know it.
I that's what I had heard. I heard even Fred Gwynn was like, damn, that dude's big.
Exactly. And it's like, it's astounding.
Yeah.
Because the thespian is not one for praise or congratulatory for comments.
Sergeant Gwynn, not at all.
Well, that his honor recently.
Yeah.
In the number two position is the TV heavyweight championship, champion, Mr. Danny Boom Boom Bonaducci.
Boom Boom Bonaducci.
He's changed from the Macho Man to Boom Boom. What are your thoughts?
I think it's great, Boom Boom Mancini. I think it's excellent.
In the number one position and new world's heavyweight champion, the Trash Man, James Evans.
Trash Man.
Yes.
Why are you calling the Trash Man?
That's what he is. He's a Trash Man.
The Working Man.
He's from Chicago.
Oh, stop it.
What do you mean, oh, stop it? Why do you say this?
He's the world's heavyweight champion. And where's...
And now, as we go down to the ring, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom, boom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm hearing a lot of cheers out there, man.
The world's television heavyweight champion, Danny Boom Boom Bonaducci.
I don't know what he's done, but it seems to me like he's the crowd is kind of like turning in his favor. Do you hear that?
Well, he's a great champion, sir.
I'm hearing a lot of pops.
Well, he's been affiliated recently with Stashberg, and he's hanging out with the Bloody Stash crew, and it's only understandable that he would, you know, eventually become.
Maybe he's being invited to their banquet.
The banquet? What about it? Tell me.
I don't know. We'll have to talk about it later. We'll get emails on it later. Wow, he looks great. Is he not looking in great shape?
He is a phenomenal athlete.
Miss Joni, how does she look to you, man?
Not so good.
Wait, is she? Someone ought to do something about that, man.
I don't know what to tell you.
Unbelievable.
Coming to the ring, his opponent, Corporal Punishment.
The Corporal. I can't believe this. Corporal looks pissed. And he does have his flamethrower pack on.
Returning.
And it looks like the Sheik, is that the Sheik behind him?
Always the Sheik is behind him. That's just how it works. And let's go to ringside.
Away we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, squaring off in the squared circle, we have the world's TV champion, Danny Bonaducci, facing off against Corporal Punishment, the corporal himself, still removing his ring. Oh no, Danny Bonaducci attacks. The gentleman was taking off his jacket. He ties him up in the ropes, and he's just beating on him. Johnny Zero, what are your thoughts?
Oh, he's got the jacket wrapping around him, choking him with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh my goodness, I mean, the match has begun, but still, like, what is happening?
What's going on here? He's trying to kill the man with his own military.
Now, remember, if you keep this in perspective, Mr. Johnny Zero, we only have a finite amount of time. This isn't the situation. It's only 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute time limit, and you have to defeat Danny Bonaducci, and the corporal hasn't
even had
the opportunity.
He does not have to defeat you.
No.
Very good synopsis there. Fans, Danny Bonaducci has to. You have to beat Danny Bonaducci. Danny Bonaducci
does not have to beat you.
And
that's the perks of being the TV champion.
Yeah,
All right, they finally get the coat off of the corporal. They finally get the coat, and they're in the ring. And Danny Bonaducci is just going to work on him. This is a clinic, if you will, on how to defeat someone handily in the squared circle.
He has whipped him in the ropes. Oh, nice standing dropkick by
that
Bonaducci.
Was amazing.
Standing right back up. Picks him up again. Oh, low blow by Corporal Punishment. Oh, here we go.
He's got to catch his breath, Johnny, you know?
Yeah. Corporal whips him in to the ropes, picks him up. Oh, now he's caught him. Bonaducci tried to go for a high cross body. Corporal Punishment grabbed him, flips him around for a power slam.
Goodness. Look at that, John.
Now that power is going to come into play. Corporal Punishment looking over to the Sheik for assistance. He's still winded by that onslaught of Bonaducci early on in the match. Hips the ropes, drops that power elbow, crosses it, goes for a 1-2. Bonaducci kicks out of there. He's not going to get Bonaducci that easy.
Oh, that's scary, Johnny.
He's not going to get him that easy. You got to get up pretty early in the morning. You want to catch Boom Boom.
I am so sorry to say, ladies and gentlemen, you have to bear with us. We're going to break for commercial interruption. We shall return and see the conclusion of the TV championship match on
National
Television.
Absolutely. Stay with us, folks.
Welcome back, ringside, ladies and gentlemen. Pandemonium has ensued. It is madness, if you will, in the center of the squared circle. Mr. Bonaducci putting on a clinic, if you will, showing one how to defend the TV championship.
Absolutely, and it looks like, well, Corporal Punishment's only defense is to back him into the corner. Oh, wait a minute. Sheik is behind there, distracting the referee. What is he doing? Oh, nice European uppercut by Corporal Punishment. Now that's one. That's probably the only area that Bonaducci cannot hang with Corporal Punishment.
That's
the
true.
The power. Got it. Oh, another one. Oh, did you hear that? Oh my God. Oh, he puts him up on the top rope. He's going for a. It looks like he's going for a superplex. The Corporal Punishment is going for a superplex on Danny Bonaducci.
And he lands it. Bonaducci unconscious. He hooks the leg. One, two. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have a new TV heavyweight championship.
I thought we were past time limit.
We may have a new champion, Johnny Zero. Ladies and gentlemen, obviously Danny Bonaducci has defeated Corporal Punishment. Time limit in the second question. Johnny Zero, what are your thoughts?
Unbelievable.
Your winner.
I can't believe.
And still.
How well.
TV champion. Danny Boom Boom Bonaducci.
Boom Boom Bonaducci has pulled it off again against a much bigger and more powerful opponent. And, you know, the fans are showing their appreciation. And, you know, what can I say? He retains.
He does retain.
Boom, boom, retains. That's the bottom line, right, folks? So I wasn't expecting it, you know, a man that big. But Bonaducci, boom, boom, that's how he's probably earned the name Boom Boom. He has taken over many opponent bigger than his size.
The corporal is not happy. Neither is his manager, his tag partner, the Sheik, if you will.
Yes.
It's a colorful... insane conundrum at our hands.
Xerxes Muhammad Al-Cleaver is not happy.
Not happy, to say the least, Johnny Zero. Because you gotta figure, this is the opportunity. They're coming out to the squared circle on national television to face off for the TV heavyweight championship
of the world.
Now we're gonna take a brief commercial break. When we return, there is a vignette we have to share with the viewing audience of colorful things that are to come in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. Yeah. Please bear with us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. This is VexX along with your host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The People's Hero. How
now,
you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, there's breaking news that is happening as we speak in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. We have left the ringside area. We're backstage, and we're going to break some announcements and explain some information that's happening. Are you ready, Johnny Zero?
Absolutely. This is some serious stuff.
The wrestler currently competing under the name Bundy Solo was previously Al Bundy. Now, he lost his name fair and square in the squared circle to, what was his name originally?
Oh, Ted Lawson.
Ted Lawson, who's now Ted Bundy.
Legally known as Ted Bundy forever.
Absolutely. Now, what has happened is King Kong Bundy, who is a retired professional wrestler who competed in a different federation, but was a regular on the Married with Children situation comedy, is a cousin, a direct cousin of the now athlete of Al Solo.
Yes.
Now, we have the great and unfortunately the departed Bud Bundy.
Yes, I want to get in, and God bless Bud Bundy. He was our world middleweight champion, a great fighter.
The first one.
And our inaugural one. It's also important for everybody who hasn't listened to our original episodes before we got, you know, for it's blown up like this, is the reason that we call him, that Al is so obsessed with protesting Star Wars and so forth, is because he was the guy who Harrison Ford beat out to be Han Solo, actually, in the 1970s. That's an actual fact. You can look it up, and that's at least that's how it is. And had the facts as they exist in the mind of the now Al Solo.
So here's our point. Thank you so much for setting the table. That's our situation at hand. The great King Kong Bundy is going to coach Al Solo, and he's going to bring him back into professional wrestling, into fighting shape. He's been decimated by the loss of his son. Right. You know what I mean? So he had Bud Bundy pass away. He then lost the name in the match. So here's the challenge on the table. This is the email that's been sent. It's now going to be put into the ether. It's going to be expressed on the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast and put out to the Federation directly. Yep. The coach of King Kong Bundy is bringing in Al Solo, and they challenge the Ted Lawson, now Ted Bundy character, to a winner-take-all, loser-leave-town match.
Interesting.
So what's going to happen is this is on the table. Mm-hmm. They have the money, which King Kong Bundy has saved. They are offering a $500,000 prize to the winner. So say Ted Bundy faces off in a no disqualification match against Al Solo, and he wins. Not only is Al Solo out of professional wrestling, he retains the name of Al Bundy. I'm sorry, not Al Bundy, of Ted Bundy, the last name, and he gets a $500,000 purse from one King Kong Bundy. Johnny Zero, what are your thoughts?
Well, if they're, I guess that would mean they're training in Atlantic City. Was that the Monster Factory, or was that Bam Bam Bigelow?
I couldn't tell you, sir.
I've heard some very sad stories about Al Solo.
He's fallen on hard times, to say the least. The loss of his son was tragic.
And fans, I'm not making fun of this or anything. I love Al Bundy just as much as you guys, the Polkai Killers, no doubt about it. 6 touchdowns, 1 game.
Well, the Polkai Killers were like a cornerstone of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation during its inception.
Initially, but I mean, you would think that a man whose son died would, I think he would have made a better Han Solo than Harrison Ford, and history might be different. But we'll never know that, and that's probably one of the things. I just think he shouldn't be so self-absorbed with that. But this is his chance for redemption, as they say. And I'm looking forward to the match. And
now, here's the thing. This is just being announced currently.
Yeah.
We have no idea how Jamie Bundy or Jamie Lawson or any of those people are going to respond.
And is Springer going to let this happen? I mean, with King Kong Bundy being from another promotion.
But he's not an athlete. He's technically from a television program.
That is true.
So it does, and he's not competing. He's just training his cousin. I can't say whether or not the Supreme Leader will allow such things, but at least we have gotten the press release, and it is in the ether, if you will, sir.
Right, right. It sounds like a good match to me. I mean, I think that Mini Bundy is no match for King Kong Bundy. Now, are we talking how?
Well, it's not a tag match. It's a single match. So it's Al Bundy. I'm sorry, Al Solo.
Yeah,
facing off against the newly crowned Ted Bundy for the name specifically.
Right.
Whoever wins, and it's a no disqualification bout.
But that's going to turn into a family affair.
But it's a no disqualification bout. Now, we're not sure. Will it be in a steel cage? Could it be what you'd call a Firewalkers match? It could be anything.
Yeah.
It's just the declaration has been extended. The gauntlet is on the table, and there's a $500,000 purse at hand.
Could be an old-fashioned Atlantic City boardwalk chicken wire match for all we know.
But this is the situation where King Kong Bundy cares about his cousin, and he wants the family crest and the family name brought back home.
Yes.
And so he's going to bring this man up. I mean, let's be honest, King Kong Bundy's not in shape anymore. He's a big, rotund gentleman. He's not in fighting shape in any capacity. He's just going to be the coach, if you will.
Yeah, okay. It's still a lot of man to, still a lot of man to move.
Listen, I know that you're down with the transvestite, so you're obsessed with the size of men in your mouth and things like that, but this isn't what this is about, Johnny. You have to leave your sexuality to the world.
What are you talking about? King Kong Bundy's 500 pounds.
I'm aware of this fact.
I mean, it's still,
he's a behemoth of a wrestler.
What are you talking about, transvestite?
Man? Oh, Charlotte Ingalls?
Every other word
who, now that she's lost her title, she's like hooking on the side of the road for beer money.
Oh, stop it.
It's tragic, if you will.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, Bruce. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to episode number 33 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. Now, Johnny Zero, you are a tabloid reporter, but if I'm not mistaken, that you were present when one James Evans was celebrating backstage with his family.
I was invited.
Once he achieved the greatest championship wrestling milestone.
Absolutely.
The heavyweight title.
The uncrowned champion, absolutely. And here's a little bit of excerpts.
So you've recorded them.
Oh, with their permission.
Of course, tablet.
With their permission, of course. I was invited. I was invited. Something like this. You're all right, man. See, Florida? Told you it was going to be all right. What a moment.
It's like a miracle, James.
Well, baby, you always did say the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Well, gang, what a day. You all should have been here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we still got a roof over our heads. Thank you that the children didn't have to do nothing illegal. And thank you that we didn't have to go on welfare.
We didn't have to go on welfare. Johnny Zero, how exploitive are you? How do you bring this in? This is the world's heavyweight champion, and you're painting him as a poor person who's
about?
On the welfare.
I'm a friend of the family.
Sucking on Charles, the tit of the American taxpayer. This is tragedy.
What are you talking
I can't
about?
Even believe the audacity of you,
you
sir.
You don't know the struggles the Evans family has together. Charles Ingalls himself was there to congratulate
I
you.
Am sponsored,
did you hear him in the background?
I am sponsored by the Bloody Stash Clothing Corporation, and hereby a member of the Bloody Stash crew. So, sir, I do not understand what it's like to not have any money, sir. I don't comprehend it, but it's a sad state of affairs when a Republican like myself has to support the world's heavyweight champion's family. We're not on welfare.
What
kind of
about?
Shit are you bringing to this show,
Johnny? Well, Republicans don't necessarily support the
You
the,
should
the
be ashamed of yourself, sir.
That's a common misconception. But either way, my friend, there's also a pretty loud clothes you're wearing there with the big... What is that big?
Are you going to make this about me and the fact
I'm
that I have
at the
a
clothes you're on? That's some pretty.
I have a fantastic
is
fashion
that
sense.
It's not. I'm sorry. It's not pink. It's magenta. It's magentas, folks. He's wearing magenta.
You're missing the point completely. You're missing the point completely. Like, literally, you bring in this fucking tabloid reporting, you sneak into this, like, dressing room where an inebriated heavyweight champion is celebrating with his friends because he finally has the gold, and you're God, we didn't go on the welfare.
This
is sad, sir.
You know what?
Shame,
the
Johnny
only
Zero.
Person, did you notice the only person absent from that was, you know who? The Duke of Chicago.
You mean the former world heavyweight tag team champions? And actually, if I'm not mistaken,
no, Michael is there.
Is breaking news in relation to the Duke of Chicago.
It was me, Michael, Florida, Wilona.
Says
Charles Ingalls.
Says you.
Really?
Yes, really.
They had the sign. I have the press release and sign also. I have the videotape as well.
The press release? How does one have a press release for a championship that
because
just turned
I
hands
can't,
moments
I
earlier?
Can't, that's a private. That's not a TV Dad's Wrestling Federation. That's not in the locker room, man. That's at their. I was invited to their home. They wanted me to know how elated they were that James finally got his much deserved championship, and Charles was happy for him as well. I mean, I don't understand. These are great competitors, man.
Johnny Zero, I have to hijack your babbling and explain that we have
babbling.
Breaking news.
Florida
breaking
Evans
news
babbling.
On the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
The newly crowned world champion is babbling. Yes, what's up? What's
it's
the news?
About this champion. It has been decreed by the supreme leader, the overlord, if you will, the one we like to call Jerry Springer.
The dictator.
If you read your email on your computer,
okay.
That the first world heavyweight championship defense of the run and the reign of Mr. Evans will be against the one, the only, the Duke of Chicago.
Yeah, that's been coming. And look, man, that has been brewing for a long time.
So it's going to be.
We even talked about that a little bit in weeks leading up to this.
On the very next 6:05 Eastern broadcast, it will not be on tonight's match. But, sir, this is a fantastic endeavor, to say the least.
Yep.
What are your thoughts?
Well, you have Young Lion versus Old Lion. I've already seen backstage before we even went live that on the marquee it says Evans versus Evans, and James Evans is in all caps, and Junior or JJ or Jimmy Walker, you know, whatever you want to call him, the Duke of Chicago Evans is in one capital E, but the E in his is slightly smaller. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. He ripped the entire thing down. He jumped. I mean, the man does have a distinct height advantage. And his post-apocalyptic entourage, Michael hangs in the balance. Michael was at the after party, but he did leave almost before I did. And I was only there to really congratulate James and Charles and, everybody. And,
I got to tell you, as I look at the tail of the tape between these two athletes, Mr. Johnny Zero.
Reach.
I go on Google, and I looked up James Evans' height. Now, it says he's only 5'11". I don't feel that's accurate. I feel that James Evans is over 6 feet at least.
Okay.
It says that the Duke of Chicago is standing at 6'5" and weighing at 289 pounds.
Wow.
What are your thoughts in relation to that giant gentleman, sir?
Again, that means he's going to have a leverage advantage.
The power's got to go to the champion, though. I know that the Duke is tremendous.
I would agree with
but
that.
But if we're watching weightlifting competitions and working and things of that nature, then I would say that definitively the heavyweight champion is the one with the advantage when it comes to sheer power.
Absolutely. I've said that from the beginning. I mean, I think he'd power slam him second. You know, and particularly he's a Vietnam veteran. He's originally from Mississippi. He's from Chicago by way of Mississippi. Something about those Mississippi athletes, Brett Favre included. I mean, they just last. He's got the power there. But you also have to remember, that's his son. Is that going to make him hesitate?
Would it?
You know.
Is there a killer instinct? Is James weak? Will he lose it? It's his first offense.
Exactly.
Now, normally, the first offense is against the previous champion.
Right, right.
I find it highly suspect that Charlotte Ingalls has been disqualified because it turns out it's a woman, and a woman can't compete for the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, no, you're using your own prejudices against Vicky, who's because she's half cyborg or whatever. She can actually wrestle.
Why are you bringing up the Vicky situation?
Because that's who you're talking about, guys. Whenever you're talking about, he's talking about Vicky because she's training up at the Ingalls Ranch with Beaver and Ritter. But
so
anyway,
she's like an F toy for all the people who
no,
work there.
Not at all.
She's
they got her out of there. That's how
they got her out of there.
They got her out of there.
Off
she's
the
18
streets,
years old.
If you will.
Yep. Yep, she earns her keep up there. They build a whole
earns her keep.
Yeah, she does.
Listen to you,
legit.
You sexist bastard.
Oh, no, I'm not sexist. She's every bit the wrestler that a lot of the guys are. But what I'm saying to you is, because it's father and son, I don't think that makes James weak or whatever. But that all it takes is when you're talking, dude, 6 foot. That's a big height advantage. I mean, look, the Duke of Chicago is no punk, dude. 289 pounds, 6 foot five. That big, all it takes is that moment of hesitation, Junior, you know, or whatever. And he goes in the ropes, and that big leg takes his head off. Boom, he's down. Now he's proven he is the World Heavyweight Champion. It all comes down to what man wants it more. Does James want to continue being a defending world champion, or does he just want to put on his mantelpiece and say, hey, you know what? I was World Heavyweight Champion.
We got to speak
my family
on this.
And I united them back together.
This is important. I want to interject this to your dissertation, if you don't mind.
Sure.
J.J. Evans, right? The Duke of Chicago,
yes, sir,
is a former World Heavyweight Tag Team Champion.
Yes.
The only member of the Evans family to never have gold ever that eluded him the entire run of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation for several years, if you will, has been the one and only James Evans.
Right.
So after crawling through glass, fighting tooth and nail to get to this point, do you really feel like that now he's facing off against his son, someone he's taught everything that he knows, I might add, that there's even a chance that the champion could
probably
actually
even... Probably forgot some of them. He's probably forgotten more than JJ will never know.
But that's my point. You're saying there's a chance. I don't think there's much of a match here
but
at all.
But it's still. I'm just saying the psychology of this. I mean, because look, and I see the Duke of Chicago. I see no hesitation at all.
I am surprised. I am surprised at least to say that I must say definitively you seem to be leaning towards the Duke of Chicago over James Evans. You know what? You won me over. James Evans is a paper champion, and he doesn't deserve the title anyway, and Charlotte Angle shouldn't have had the title, and the only real champion that matters in this entire federation is the one and the only, the Bloody Stash crew, the Bloody Stash butcher, if you will, Mr. Brady. Michael Brady.
I don't know if I said all that.
You did, Johnny. You won me over. You said the Duke of Chicago is going to beat his old man.
I'm just giving the psychology of the match here. But
now, I'm getting the red light. We're going to go to commercial break.
What's that over there?
We're going to be ringside. Please bear with us.
Stay with us, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 33 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. We're at the ring. Oh, God,
hey.
No.
Hey, that's Neckbeard. What's up, buddy? How
I
you
hate
doing,
this
man?
Fucking dog.
What's happening, dude?
Yeah,
hi. Hey, let me tell you something.
Oh, my God, this is awful.
I don't appreciate you talking bad about the new World Heavyweight Champion like that.
Who are you?
My buddy and my friend.
It's Charles Ingalls, man.
Oh, Charlotte, Miss Ingalls. How are you, Miss Ingalls?
I'm sitting here telling you something. Johnny, you are right. This punk you're messing with, he works for the BSC.
Oh, he doesn't really. That's just his clothes. He's just
I'm sponsored.
I see them backstage. I see them with him.
I don't believe it for a second. He's not. It's just part of it. It's part of an act for the podcast.
What are you talking about? Don't talk about the world champion like that. I'll be back to win it again.
Yes, sir. I hear you, Mr. Ingalls. Thanks for coming out.
Bye, Charlotte.
Appreciate it.
Bye, doggy.
Bye. Tell that boy I'm going to come out here and choke slam his ass.
Okay, all right.
He does want to touch my bottom, doesn't he? That's a lovely thing.
Dude, he wants to choke slam. I wouldn't mess with that.
I couldn't care less.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to let anybody hurt you or nothing. I'm just saying.
Johnny!
Well, there's
coming down to the squared circle.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's heavyweight tag team champions, the Rhinestone Cowboys.
Unbelievable.
The crowd goes wild, Johnny Zero. Everybody loves the Rhinestone Cowboys.
I think they're cheering. I think I see people with Lamont signs, man. And what a shame for Michael Knight, a brilliant wrestler, absolutely.
What do you mean a shame? Listen to the crowd, Johnny. Everybody loves the Rhinestone Cowboys, the world's heavyweight tag team champions.
Can you hear them?
They're saying, "Bloody Stash Butcher, Bloody Stash Butcher."
Oh, that's the problem with the
Bloody Stash Butcher.
That's the problem.
That's how the microphones pick it up.
Their names start with a B, so it sounds like. Right? Okay, I got it. You know what that's from, right?
Who are they facing off against? Exactly. I didn't see the card, Johnny.
I haven't either. This is apparently mystery opponents, but I guess we're not in good graces here. I don't know what Springer's got.
You know, the center of the squared circle is the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Now, the beauty of this is a surprise match. We have no idea who they're facing.
Holy shit, no wonder people are going nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming down to the ring, the Skipper and Gilligan, Shiprat.
Unbelievable, in their reverse color outfits. This is pretty cool.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, they've been touring the Orient, wrestling in other divisions, and they're returning back.
Yes, these are the white shirts, and Gilligan has the blue pants, I mean the red pants, and Gilligan has the, Skipper has the blue pants with the white shirt, and... You know,
oh, ladies and gentlemen, here we go, Johnny. Up,
the alternate action figures are selling, probably.
Michael Knight locks up in the center of the ring against Gilligan, and he just throws him into the turnbuckle.
Michael
Knight immediately tags the one and the only, the Bloody Stash Butcher, who comes in and karate chops young Gilligan across the chest.
Yes, he does.
He wraps him up with a chicken wing. He's twisting the arm.
Skipper's jumping in the ring to kind of break it up.
It works successfully. The Skipper breaks the hole.
Yeah, but the referee's backing him to the corner. That leaves Michael Knight to come back in, and they put a knee into the back of Gilligan. They
and
go
frankly
down.
Frankly speaking, he deserved it because his partner was cheating.
Yes, I don't know about that, but yes, those are the rules of wrestling. Tag team wrestling grabs the tag rope, and we do use tag ropes from the corner, folks, in our matches.
Most definitely. Just so you We're know. A real wrestling federation. Yes, everyone knows this.
Yes, people are fake. TV Dad Wrestling is real. Credit to Kurt Angle, I believe, who said that. It was our 1996.
The Bloody Butcher jumps over the medalist. Top rope. He's tagged in, and he keeps working on young Gilligan, who desperately is trying to get the Butcher catches him.
I don't think even Gilligan, his Spider-Man-like moves.
Spider-Man-like moves.
Gilligan, he's the Spider-Man of the ring, at least at one point.
He's the Spider-Man of the TV Dad's Wrestling Federation.
Would you agree?
Who's getting decimated by the Bloody Stash crew as we speak.
Yes, he is.
The Rhinestone Cowboys, the World's Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. A phenomenal day. A phenomenal day in wrestling.
How are you going to compete with a worker like Michael Knight, dude? I mean, really, the guy's a ring assassin. You know, I mean, seriously. This is just, he's getting better.
They keep working on poor Gilligan, tagging back and forth, in and out. Yeah. It's a rough
the
pin.
The continuity.
It's awful.
Yes. Wait a minute. Gilligan just slipped through the legs of Brady. He rolls over, makes a tag. Almost. Nope. They pulled him back over. Michael Knight was too strong for him.
It's so tragic.
Oh, my gosh. Tags in Brady. Brady slingshots himself over the top with a knee back into the back of Gilligan.
And he
poor
blows
Gilligan.
A kiss into the face of the Skipper, who's ringside. Oh that's lovely. The Skipper loves to see the World Tag Team Champions.
He is mad.
What's to be mad about? He's losing the match. He's the lesser athlete.
His little buddy's in there getting his ass whipped is what he's mad about. He wants to get in that ring. And every time he's made a tag, the referee wasn't looking.
And he blows another kiss over to the Skipper.
Oh.
The Skipper just loves it. He loves getting kisses from Michael Knight.
Oh, unbelievable. What? So Michael Knight is the one that blows kisses?
They do now. They are the Rhinestone Cowboys. They are phenomenal. Oh, my goodness, no. Gilligan has just slingshotted off the rope. He has caught an elbow in the face of Michael Knight. Michael Knight is dazed. He gets over. He tags in the Skipper.
Cartwheel, then a tag in the Skipper.
Oh,
Skipper's in the house of fire, looks like. Skipper.
Michael Brady is off the ring apron. He is away from the ring.
Skipper is throwing elbows left and right. He's doing his going to the body. Nobody goes to the body like the Skipper once he gets you in that.
Michael Knight is alone in there.
Shades of a babyface Big Van Vader.
Mr. Brady has stepped away from the ring to avoid any kind of calamity or catastrophe.
Unbelievable. beating him up, whips him into the other corner. Now it looks like Skipper's going to go for a...
It's a power slam. It's a power slam. He hooks the leg. One, two, three. Ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa,
this is unbelievable.
Are you kidding?
This is unbelievable. It looks as though we may have new World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions.
Unbelievable. The places are going nuts here. Are you kidding?
Your winner by pinfall. Shipwrecked. But they do not secure the World Tag Team Champions.
It's a non-title match.
This was a non-title contest.
Unbelievable.
But
I don't know what to say. They're back, though. I mean, they're back, and
their tour of the Orient.
People are so grateful that the Bloody Stash crew has retained the title. They're cheering. They're so grateful that the Rhinestone Cowboys are still
with the alternate and the alternate uniforms with the alternate action figures coming out. And please buy our action figures, by the way. TV Dad Wrestling Federation action figures should be in stores near you. You can find them on our Facebook or just email us directly or what have you. But just when you think Shipwreck was out of it, just when you count Skipper and Gilligan out, I mean, I know it was a non-title match, but it did look like they were done there for a while, don't you think?
Did you know it was a non-title match? I did not know this.
I honestly did not know that.
My assumption is that if they came out to the ring, they brought the belts.
Well, usually the ring announcer would do that, but they must be under special. I keep noticing the ring announcer is looking up to the window there with Springer. Now,
if you've noticed, you ever see those mirror sunglasses the police officers wear?
Yes.
That's what the window now looks like in Springer's office. We cannot see him, but he can see us.
Perfectly matching Sergeant Gwynn's sunglasses that he wears. Sergeant Gwynn and the Jackal.
The thespian.
Well, yeah, he's in Cop Lives Matter now, so...
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
after being a judge
in this broadcast alone, we've had the World TV Championship defended. We thought we had the tag titles defended, but to our dismay, it was not that at all. We're going to take a brief commercial interruption. When we return, however, we are going to have a match which will be an elimination leading up to the middleweight heavyweight. The middleweight title.
That'd be great, man. Stick with us.
I'm Jerry Springer, and I want to be your governor. Now, after sharing some specific solutions for our unemployment and education problems in this state, it looks like the nomination is finally within grasp, which makes what I'm about to tell you even more difficult. Some 9 years ago, I spent time with a woman I shouldn't have, and I paid her with a check. I wish I hadn't done that, and the truth is, I wish no one would ever know. But in the rough world of politics, opponents are not about to let personal embarrassments lay to rest. Perhaps like you, I'm not sure what any of this has to do with being governor, but maybe my talking to you about this makes a point. Ohio is in a world of hurt. The next governor is going to have to take some heavy risks and face some hard truths. I'm prepared to do that. This commercial should be proof. I'm not afraid, even of the truth, and even if it hurts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 33 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. Your next match for the evening is one of the final matches in the Elimination Tournament to secure the new middleweight championship here in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Hey fans, this is a world's middleweight championship, otherwise known. It's not a cruiserweight championship. It's not a junior heavyweight championship. It's the real deal. We have two real competitors tonight.
Coming down to the ring, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Mike the Face Seaver.
Wow.
Now, this is the theme music from his television show, Growing Pains.
But
he looks like he's been in a prison knife fight. His face is destroyed.
And he's been through some growing pains in the wrestling.
That's a good way to say it,
yeah,
Johnny Zero.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is with the Fu Manchu, but the bottom of it are combed out like a handlebar.
He's wearing a lot of makeup, not unlike a Michael Jackson character, to hide the burns, if you will.
Yeah, but he's been his own man here. He's a tough competitor. He's not quite the same guy we had in the original episode.
I agree with that. He was more of a jobber in the beginning.
Yeah,
and he's
not a jabroni anymore.
He's come up the hard way, Johnny Zero.
Yes, he has.
Now coming down to the ring, he's facing off against the one,
the only. Beaver. You think Beaver's right for this?
Beaver Cleaver, ladies and gentlemen. Beaver Cleaver.
From the Ingles Ranch. Now, if rumor has it that he has perfected, with the help of Ritter, a 1080 or 1060, am I saying it right? spinning elbow smash called the spiral smash of the top rope. But if he misses, it's done. But this man did score a pinfall on this on corporal punishment.
Yes, sir, he did.
I know it was a schoolboy. It wasn't out of nowhere, and he so we'll see how this match goes.
You know, it's been heating up across the country.
Yeah.
Eliminations. Beaver Cleaver has definitely earned his right to be here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let's go down to ringside, Johnny Zero.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, they're locking up. It looks like Vicky's out in the crowd there.
Oh, the whore is here.
That's his girl. Let's see. Okay, locking up. Beaver is not going to win that one. He didn't get thrown off.
Jason Seaver's not a big man, well, to say the least.
Beaver's still green, man. He comes in there, but he has. Jason Seaver slips out of the ring. Why is he pointing his head like he did something smart?
What the fuck
is wrong with that guy? I'm sorry, but he's like pinching out his handlebar. What is he? Raleigh fingers or something?
Look how destroyed the man's face is. Yeah. He was set on fire by corporal punishment. But he was set on fire by the Bloody Stash crew. Yeah. This is another Red Foreman situation on our hands here.
I don't.
The Phantom of the Arena, who's been reinstated to pro wrestling. I might add.
I would never ever put Mike Seavers in the same sentence as Red Foreman.
Why would you say that?
Because the man who started the parking lot wars, the king of
Johnny,
extreme.
You're supposed to be color commentating the ring.
I'm just
Beaver
telling.
Cleaver's getting destroyed in the squared circle.
No, he's not.
How are you missing?
No, he's not. He just slither. That's what I'm saying. Slithering Seavers must have been. He has been training with George Jefferson lately. I know.
Snake George Jefferson.
Yes,
down
in Haiti for some connection through Haiti and the Zombie Warriors. He got Beaver underneath, but Beaver's on his own. Ritter is not out there. Vicky's at ringside. Beaver blocks it. Blocks a punch. Beaver's a house of fire now. Lights and lefts and rights and lefts, and it looks like it's Fu Manchu. Beaver has him by the Fu Manchu mustache.
Oh, this is amazing.
And he snapmares him by it. Flips him over, fans. Oh, my gosh. And it looks like Mike Seaver is more concerned with the grooming of his own mustache than he is with winning this match.
Fast. How could he not be? It's a phenomenal mustache. You must respect the stash. We live in the Bloody Stash Crew time. 2018, it's the Bloody Stash Crew's year.
You must admit Beaver is working his way up strength-wise.
He's beating a wimp. No one respects Seaver. Seaver is not part of the Bloody Stash Crew. He's a wannabe.
Yes, he is.
He's
teams with Jefferson down in Haiti.
Unsanctioned matches in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, Mr.
Those
Zero.
Those are BSC boots to me. Just saying.
Hey, you can buy anything online. I could go online right now and dress you like me, but it would just cost a lot of money.
I don't wear pink lapels.
That's your fault, isn't it?
I don't put moose on my chest hairs. Have a golden lion head medallion.
No, mock me. I understand. I'm a target. I'm wealthy. I'm young. I'm the target.
Oh, my
hand.
Gosh.
But let's maybe stay into the ring. Oh. Maybe we should discuss
It looks like Beaver has got him by his mustache, and maybe Seaver should. My point is that's a much smaller man taking on a much larger man and a veteran, a much more experienced, seasoned veteran, regardless.
Seaver's a joke.
Whatever. This is only, what's his second match? He's picking him up by his handlebar mustache, and he's swinging him by his head. Oh, my God, man. An airplane spin by the mustache? A stash plane spin, if you will.
It's sad to me how excited and sexually aroused you're getting by this
match. I just think it's funny because this guy wants to. He's like out there dying for their cause, your cause, whatever. The Beaver is going up top. I've heard about this. I hope he hits it. I did want to see this. He's going up to the top rope. And it's flipping, and it's a 1080 elbow smash in the middle. 1, 2, 3. Beaver's got him. Beaver advances. Beaver, that is a pretty impressive move.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The kid's been working. Come on, man.
The winner of the contest by one fall.
The kid's been working. And
Beaver Cleaver!
He's out there. He's out there giving Vicky hugs. That's great, man. That's a good story. You don't get too many feel-good stories in this.
When we had covered the fact that June Cleaver was a whore, who was working on Backpage.com and getting slapped by men for money. You remember that, right?
No, no.
I find it ironic
talking about Miss Jones,
that Beaver Cleaver is now pursuing a woman who is also a woman of the night. It's sad to me.
What are you
There's an
about?
Opportunity for Beaver Cleaver to be the first ever middleweight champion. I'm sorry, not the first ever, but the new middleweight champion, and he's carrying around a prostitute.
What
it's
you,
sad.
What are you
it's,
talking
you know, it's
about?
Unbecoming
that's his best
of a wrestler.
Friend, and she's like, part, she's cybernetic, dude. She actually can class, she can... Like, legally,
Michael Brady, for instance, surrounds himself with the best men fathomable. He keeps the evil element of the female, the hooker, the whore of the night, out of the way.
If it wasn't, and Ted Bundy, her living in the basement of Ted Bundy, and the things that her and Minnie Bundy did to her in the basement, how do you think she got to be a robot?
It was Ted Lawson.
Right, well, Ted Lawson. Why do you think anybody would want to be called Ted Bundy?
I think it's for an intimidation purpose. If you're going to compete
John,
in the TV
poor John
dads.
Litter blew his knees out, body slamming the
sucking
giant.
Sucking penises, yes we
jumped
know.
Blowing,
on his knees.
Slamming
like
the
a
giant
lady.
Of wrestling, Fred Gwynn. Herman Munster, yeah, I'll say it. Come on, bring it! He can't hit. Fuck that guy, man. Fuck security. He's got too much. Too many bigger fish to fry. I'm going to go to the next match, but I do think it's amazing that this
no,
kid
that
it,
was,
this kid has
that
come
was
a long way.
The application on my phone telling you to
that
get
is,
it together.
Hey, that is a, that's a win over corporal punishment. A win over that's a win over Mr. Seavers. And this is Stash Seaver, too, the Fu Manchu after his Caribbean tour, which our DVD is coming out soon, folks. Please order it. It's the Grady from Haiti pay-per-view. Some amazing stuff.
Now,
in there.
If you happen to be a member of Amazon Prime, it will be free to you on Amazon Prime. But if
yeah.
not, you will have to purchase the DVDs.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's good stuff because that's look very violent DVD. This is not for even our program. This stuff is very violent.
I want to take this opportunity to explain to the listening audience that Johnny Zero's. His opinions are his only his own and do not represent the TV Dads Wrestling Federation or the Fox Broadcast Channel, which is carrying this program.
You see the footage. You'll see for yourself, fans. It's a bloodbath. This makes Carlos Colon and Abdul the Butcher and Bruiser Brody look like Mickey Mouse.
How do you feel that Mount Stashmore is crumbling around you? That it is a new time
Mount
in the TV
Stashmore?
Dads. Wrestling Federation.
I really think it's a great thing that Mount Stashmore is crumbling around me.
Oh, do you call it something else? Is there a different name? Because you're being
inundated. No, you said Mount Stashmore.
It's what it's called. It's Mount Stashmore.
Well,
they want to be like the Bloody Stash Crew, so they've called themselves Mount Stashmore. It's sad, and that's crumbling down around.
No, Mount Stashmore is what you said about Brady and his
the Bloody Stash
his lovers.
Crew. Is Michael Brady.
His lovers.
It is his tag team partner, Mr. Michael Knight.
It's nothing more than having lovers.
The one and only Stashberg. It is the snake, George Jefferson.
Play by the rules.
And recently, it's the guy who used to be a tag team partner with your little friend, Ricky Ricardo.
My little
George
friend.
Lopez.
My little friend. Huh?
Little friend.
Dude, Ricky Ricardo is one
He's
of
a landscaper. He's nothing more. He doesn't belong in pro wrestling.
One of the hardest working people in this world.
One of the landscapers. Exactly. That's what he is. So you have this guy's remaining. You have Ricky Ricardo, the landscaper, who's going to face off next week. He's going to face off against Minnie Bundy. And the winner of that match faces Beaver Cleaver.
Right.
And that winner is the new middleweight champion.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with that. I've also heard it. You know, remember, there's still that international title coming up. So, I don't think Bundy's a joke. I think Minnie Bundy's a joke compared to Ricky Ricardo.
Here's where it gets bizarre. I agree. Ricky Ricardo had to lose a fantastic amount of weight to compete in this division. So he's down 40, 50 pounds of muscle.
Sure.
He's not going to be as powerful as he once was.
Sure.
And now he's facing against a little rotund midget, if you will, Jamie Lawson Bundy. He looks like a mini King Kong.
I think the
Bundy.
One who would have to lose weight would be Minnie Bundy.
Now, no, the middleweight contention has a height and a weight, and he matches
height. It's just weight. It's only you have to be at least 217, right? Isn't that the world light heavyweight?
Well, this is the middleweight.
Right, that's what I mean. Middleweight. It's if I'm not mistaken, we'll have to get up our original Ross Perot TV Dad Wrestling Federation
Alliance.
Well, no, Alliance,
because that original doctrine has been null and void
because
by the Supreme Leader.
The Springer
now,
Mafia
no,
and the BSC.
It's now a middleweight championship. At one time, it was a lightweight championship, and that's a different world altogether.
Right.
But when we look back now at the wisdom of the one and only the Supreme Leader of
right.
Mr. Springer, he's made it a middleweight title, which you supported, Johnny Zero. You supported, and now you're a tabloid reporter, and you're backtracking, and you're acting like you weren't a part of this.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just surprised Tattoo would not be involved in this.
Not a sanctioned athlete, sir.
Because he has had his hand one way or another in every single changing moment of this promotion, some way or another. I have seen it with my own two eyes.
Now, for the listening audience, they don't know who Tattoo is. On the show Fantasy Island,
yes.
Tattoo was a character on that show.
Yes.
And you claim, because again, a tabloid reporter.
He was at the original conversation that started this.
Explain, sir.
Well, when Rupert Murdoch and Ross Perot were drinking, if you look down at the end of the bar, I saw footage of it. That is Tattoo Dan. I know he has the...
Oh, was he the bartender? It's a possibility.
I don't know if he was that or whatever. He had, like, the Panama Jack hat on, tilted low. He had the white jacket, the black underneath. You know, claiming that he started the Miami Vice trend first. You know? whatever he did. I mean, I've never denied the man's style. We've seen him roll out of Ross Perot's plane.
This is hearsay and conjecture.
He tames alligators. It's
hearsay and conjecture that you're saying that he in some way
very dangerous
was
person.
Involved with the crowd. Now, Ross Perot has disrespected the former first Bishop of Wrestling. So there's no love loss for this federation and Ross Perot at this point, sir. He did not support the Bloody Stash Butcher. He does not support the Bloody Stash Group. Now, the money made the Bloody Stash Butcher a millionaire because they won the Crockett Cup, the Memorial
gave
Cup.
Gave him their $1 million, didn't
And
he?
Then tried to take it back because he's petty and he's small.
He made him a TV Dad Wrestling Federation of Working, didn't he?
The infinite wisdom of karma reached out and destroyed the vehicle of one Ross Perot because he deserved it. He deserved to serve for disrespecting the former first Bishop of Wrestling.
Well, we're just going to have to find out. I just hope that Ricardo isn't overlooking us as small potatoes. I mean, he's held every middleweight title there is, hasn't he? I mean, he's been the entire South American United middleweight
champion. In my knowledge of the situation, to be completely honest, I was under the impression he was only a tag team champion.
No.
I did not comprehend in any capacity that he ever held a championship.
Yeah,
he was
it wasn't TV Dad Wrestling Federation recognized at the time because we didn't have, this is before we had lightweight and cruiserweight and so forth. He was the luchador of all luchadors, the flying masked Marvel of all masked wrestlers. I mean, he was the man. I mean, he was unified. He unified the Puerto Rico championship, the Capoeira championship, the Mexico championship, the Chile championship.
Well, these are all landscaping titles. None of this is wrestling.
Either way,
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he was a good edger and he could cut lawns, and that doesn't make him a great champion.
What I'm saying is this man is for his weight class, but what I am worried about is Lopez has it out for him and might try and sabotage it. How do you think that could, and by no credit of his own, that piece of shit, Mini Bundy might advance?
But the bottom line is, could you see Lopez facing off against Beaver Cleaver? Could you see Beaver Cleaver having a fighting chance against someone you're saying is so profound?
You mean Ricardo, not Lopez.
I apologize. I meant to say Ricardo.
Yeah, no worries. No, I don't think Beaver's not in his league. No.
So you're just, at this point, you're a tabloid reporter, and you're saying unofficially that this gentleman is going to be the next world's middleweight championship holder.
Absolutely. I think he could be a world heavyweight contender. I mean, Ricky Ricardo is no joke, man.
That's sad. You're a tabloid reporter.
Dude, how do you not deny the man's skill in the ring? Just watch
him. Do you not deny the fact that he's yet to be... Number one, Beaver's further along than he is. There's one match remaining for your friend.
No.
So Ricardo has to defeat an unbelievably rotund Mini Bundy.
That's like when they brought in
Kurt
Hennig to the WWF, okay? Like, he was already known and had honed his skills in the AWA. Beaver, we're watching Beaver's career actually, you know, hone his skills right in front of our eyes. I mean, this is still a kid. I mean, I'm happy for the kid. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to put him in there with a Ricardo at this stage, would you?
I don't know what to tell you.
Let's hear, instead of crashing
I'm
down
not
my
a
ideas,
fan per se that
let's
Beaver's
hear what
a great
you think.
Athlete. I think that Ricardo can't hold a candle to Beaver Cleaver. I think that Ricardo is a glorified landscaper who shouldn't be involved in professional wrestling today.
What are you talking about, man?
Beaver Cleaver, who is obviously using steroids, he's working out at Mount Facemore on the ranch. He's just
El Prega kick, the lightning kick, if I'm saying it correctly, the Desi kick, he does a helicopter kick on a handstand, dude, and then head.
Dude,
really? Dude. Have you ever seen this guy, dude? This guy makes Argentina rock Antonino Roca, excuse me, look like, you know, come on, man, come on.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he's like the Bruce Lee of.
This is the conclusion of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast, episode number 33.
Guys,
we'll see you at 6:05 Eastern.
Yes.
I'm Jerry Springer, and I want to be your governor. Now, after sharing some specific solutions for our unemployment and education problems in this state, it looks like the nomination is finally within grasp, which makes what I'm about to tell you even more difficult. Some 9 years ago, I spent time with a woman I shouldn't have, and I paid her with a check. I wish I hadn't done that. And the truth is, I wish no one would ever know. But in the rough world of politics, opponents are not about to let personal embarrassments lay to rest. Perhaps like you, I'm not sure what any of this has to do with being governor. But maybe my talking to you about this makes a point. Ohio is in a world of hurt. The next governor is going to have to take some heavy risks and face some hard truths. I'm prepared to do that. This commercial should be proof. I'm not afraid, even of the truth, and even if it hurts.